Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Seraphic Order, Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The talk this afternoon highlights the importance of the Eucharist pertaining to the apparitions at Fatima. You already know that it was in 1916 that the Angel of Portugal, some say, and you're free to believe, it was the Archangel Michael, appeared to the children, the three children, who Our Lady also appeared in 1917, and there were three sightings of the angel, and they were Eucharistic. In other words, they were highlighting the importance of the Eucharist, and as you know, the thread of the Fatima message is the continuity of that message through until some time when the triumph of the Immaculate Heart has been effected. That is yet to happen, so the message is very relevant today. In fact, it's relevant, perhaps even more relevant than what it was earlier in the time when Our Lady was also appearing at Fatima, in the sense that there are more people today in the world, so more souls to save. But Fatima bears the name of Muhammad's daughter. The town of Lourdes also had the Blessed Virgin's name, but it was at a later time that Our Lady of Fatima came to the children. And Fatima was at one stage in the 15th century, up until the 15th century, occupied by the Moors. And they are the Saracen, known today as the Muslim. The conversion of the country was coming into play. The Muslims had been exited out, and it eventually happened under King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. And the west part of the Mediterranean, the known part of the world, was free from the Saracen. But there was a young lady also by the name of Fatima, and she fell in love with the king of royalty, of course, and he married her, and then he named the province and that little town Fatima. So the origins show also that in Lourdes, where a nearby castle had been occupied by Saracens, and the commander-in-chief wouldn't surrender. And it was because of the then Charles Martel, who was at the time of Charlemagne, that town, or rather castle, was to be captive. And it hadn't happened. And how did it go about being captive? It was because the bishop intervened. The commander at that castle said he'd give up to no man. But when the bishop went to him, he said, "Would you give up to the Blessed Virgin Mary?" Being a Muslim, they know that Our Lady's name, Mary, is mentioned over 70 times in the Quran. And also Mary, who is the mother of Jesus. They don't believe that Jesus is God, that he was a divine person, that he was a prophet, yes, but not as great as Muhammad. But Mary is elevated higher than any other, even higher than Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad. When we look at the origins, we see that the Fatima message is very relevant for the Muslims. And when we now turn to the angelic visitation in 1916, we can relate very much to the words that he spoke to the three children. My God, he brought with him the chalice, the consecrated wine, our Lord's body, blood, soul, and divinity, of course, in both species, the species under the appearance of wine and the host, the real presence of Jesus. They were suspended. There were three apparitions, and the last apparition I'll come to in a moment, but while he was holding them, he drew the children in to this prayer. My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you. The prayer that we said just before the commencement of the talk in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I pray for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love you. Again, that is addressed to the atheists. This is addressed also to lapsed Catholics who no longer believe in the real presence, so it's relevant today. And also to the communists who are atheistic. Russia, the conversion of Russia, the Fatima message is very much about the conversion of Russia, so it's addressed to all those. Our Lady loves the enemies of the church, and she's brought forth the angel to bring the children into not only the prayer, which will then be witnessed and extended into the church's devotions, as we have in benediction, and also as we have with the expounding of the Fatima message. Now, in the autumn of that same year, the angel appeared a third and final time, and he was holding the chalice, but it was then suspended above, and he also gravitated in the sense that he bowed. He bowed himself, and he again prayed a prayer. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I adore you profoundly, and I offer you the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles of the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences with which he himself is offended. Through the infinite merits of his most sacred heart and the immaculate heart of Mary, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners. And then he gave the host. Did Lucia, who was the older of the three children, the oldest, and she was 10 years of age, and the chalice to Francesco and Jacinta. Two species, but both consisting of body, blood, soul, and divinity. So in all that, we see that it's a profession, again, of the Catholic faith, the triune God, three persons and the one God. We know that the Muslim faith believes in one person in the Godhead. So they're brought in to, again, to realise through this prayer at Fatima, which is a beloved place for people from the Middle East to go, that they are now being instructed in the Catholic faith because these prayers are made known very much at Fatima. The other thing that they are told is that Jesus is truly divine, and in that prayer because they don't believe in the divinity of our Lord. When we go further into the presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, we turn back into the Old Testament and we can relate to the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant was made of incorruptible wood. The new Ark of the Covenant, Our Lady, who herself was the one who brought the new covenant to us, she's the one who brought us Jesus. She's the one who brought us salvation. She also, because of the dogma of the Assumption, is incorruptible. The Ark of old, incorruptible wood, and in that Ark of old, we have the Aaron's rod, which was the rod used to be thrown down in front of Pharaoh, turned into a serpent and engulfed all his serpents when the magicians came forth. It was also the rod which was waved to break open the seas there at the Red Sea, that is in this little, well, medium-sized casing of wood, which is incorruptible and also lined with gold. It is pure, the finest of the gold, which were contributed by the people who were set free. And in there are also the tablets of the Ten Commandments, together with the manna, some pieces of manna which had fallen from the sky, and that was happening 6 days a week, not on the Sabbath, and a double portion, of course, there on the Friday, so that people wouldn't have to work on the Sabbath. In there were the symbols of Christ, the manna, depicting the Eucharist, the rod, the priesthood of Jesus, and also the tablets, the Word of God. And when you look at Our Lady, you will see that she is the one who gave us the Eucharist, Jesus. So you see her depicted very much, and it was the prayers due to Pope Benedict the 15th, who was then reigning, and it was only reigning as in he was praying for peace in the world, asking for a divine intervention to come to bring peace 8 days before the first apparition on the 13th of May. And what was the 13th of May on the calendar year at that time? It was the feast of Our Lady of the Blessed Sacrament. So at the commencement of the apparitions, the Eucharistic miracles which were being spoken of to the children, and also the thrust and the theme of Fatima or Eucharisti, because Our Lady was asking for everyone to turn back to God. But rather than turning back to the Word and turning back to the old Ark of the Covenant, she was asking them to turn to Jesus, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, depicting our Lord in the chalice and also in this consecrated host suspended above the angel and also the children, all of which the higher angelic beings, higher in being than what the human being is, show this great love and reverence and adoration to their God, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. So we're awestruck. We're here in front of the Blessed Sacrament, the same Jesus who is the one who presented himself to us through the womb of Mary. In order for him to die in the tomb, he came to the womb of Mary so that he could then bring us all the benefits pertaining to redemption. So in this era of the New Covenant, we see that Our Lady also was the one who was highlighted in the Word of God when she visits Elizabeth. Why is the mother of my Lord coming to me? In other words, the mother, Mary, is itemized, drawn out as being the one who is bringing Jesus. And in the order of things, that shows the importance that God wanted his mother to be known to be the Ark of the New Covenant. Jesus, of course, is infinitely greater than Our Lady, but interestingly how in Scripture Our Lady's name is mentioned before Jesus, who is the mother of our Lord. We find also that David, when he himself was to receive the old Ark of the Covenant at Jerusalem, there was a effect that the purity of the priest was the only one who was able to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And when the Ark was taken to Jerusalem, unfortunately, they weren't going the way they were instructed. They weren't to carry it. They were to actually have rods alongside of the Ark of the Covenant. There were four rings, and therefore they were carrying the Ark. And that was the way it was to be, moved from one place to another. They took a shortcut, and they put the Ark on the back of a donkey. And when it started to slip, one of the officials then went to restore it to its position and was struck dead. And there were many others who died because they made contact with the Ark. Yet they were symbols. How great is the presence in Mary, how great is the presence here? And we can see that there are three presences mentioned. We've got the symbolic presence, so we've got the presence there of the Word of God, and we've also got the presence when two or three pray together, but there's a greater presence, and this is what is needing to draw all those people who don't believe in the Eucharist back to the Fatima message. So it's for everyone. It's for every faith, for every denomination, for the lapsed Catholics, for the Gentiles, for those groups who are separated from the main body of the Catholic Church under the Magisterium and Peter as the head, Pope Benedict. They also are drawn too, because by receiving Jesus, you're receiving more than the Word. You're receiving his body, blood, soul and divinity. And that all came to us because of Our Lady. Our Lady and Jesus are inseparable because of the union which coexists, the existence of Our Lady, because she was prepared, immaculately conceived. In fact, the Muslims believe in her, Mary, as being immaculately conceived without any sin, that she was all pure. They also believe in her perpetual virginity. amazing, isn't it? When we have people of other faith showing greater strength in their conviction towards Our Lady than we ourselves, who have cherished Our Lady from the beginning, but somehow we've thrown her out, and in doing so, we've come to erroneous teachings and also errors on the real presence. Many think that there is a presence of God there, but not the body, soul, and divinity. That there is an existence, but it's not the body, soul, and divinity, which is truly something amazing, a stupendous mystery. And consider that it was Our Lady who was able to contain in her womb what the whole universe, many mega millions of light years away, Our Lady could contain in her womb. And it is through her womb that she was able to hold all things in being. So the Eucharistic miracle which occurred there at Fatima is something we need to ponder more and more about. Our Lady also spoke in July on the importance of Eucharistic adoration in the sense of reparation. Reparation's necessary. And those prayers that were mentioned by the angel are repairing the damage done for those people who do not believe and have committed sacrileges and blasphemies. If they're committing them against Our Lady, they're also committing them against Jesus. So in that we have a very simple message. The simple message is frequent communions, worthily of course. The frequent message is the rosary. If you're going to come closer to, when we look at that first prayer, through the infinite merits of His Most Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart, I beg of you the conversion of poor sinners. That co-redeeming role that Our Lady plays. We can't separate, they are together. So from the heart of Jesus, the heart of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, the most efficacious prayer is through the heart of Mary, which is a recitation of the rosary, which is telling us at Fatima to pray. That will repair the damage that you've committed in your own life and also repair the damage of other sins. And that's what that prayer is all about. And it is a prayer of reparation for the conversion of poor sinners. So in this Lenten time, let us take the instruction given that it is an opportunity to visit Jesus. There are places in Perth that you can visit Jesus. The churches or the chapels are open, accessible 24 hours a day. And though they are called sacrifice hours, the wee hours of the morning, difficult hours, people think, oh, I'll never get up at that time. But if you put your mind to it and ask for you all today for the grace to be able to receive the blessing which comes from that particular effort, you will find that, yes, it might be difficult to get up, but once you're up and you're there, you'll find on your return that that hour will be made up. The things which you thought could have happened will no longer be an issue, that there will be a great freedom and there will be a great honour given to you, because what you did, you stopped something that was going to happen, and you stopped many things which were going to happen, because we're on a very perilous road as a human race is concerned towards self-destruction. So we need people who are willingly offering their souls as sacrifice to go to Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, remembering that this is the way Our Lady has told us in order to bring peace to the world. She's the Mother of Peace, and it is through Eucharistic adoration and going to Mass frequently that this will be reached, and you'll reach heights of sanctity that you did not believe were possible. And in this Lenten time, form the habit that the grace is there for you. All you need is the will. Ask for the grace to strengthen your will, and from there you'll find that you'll be most pleasing in the eyes of God, and you'll be rewarded eternally in the life after. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.